Blog Talk Radio.
Highest scoring game in World Cup history.
And I have come to, I've always liked soccer. I played it when I was a very young kid in school. And I would love to get my son into it, which is a whole other story that I don't even want to visit at this point in the morning. But it was really, really good. And they had this young Mupopo, I believe his name is Mupipi or Mupepi or something like that. I don't mean to crucify his name in that manner. I can't pronounce it. I've only heard of the kid one time. I heard of him, but I never, you know, I don't know him well enough to pronounce his name effectively. But he's a 19-year-old phenom. And he did really well. He scored in the World Cup one goal, which has only been done by one other teenager many decades ago. A teenager from the Favias of Brazil, known as Pelé. So it was really, really, really good. And I watch the World Cup every year, I really do. It's one of the bigger, or if not the biggest, sporting event on earth, bar none. Bigger than the Super Bowl, bigger than the World Series, bigger than the NBA championships, bigger than all of these sports combined. Everyone in the world on earth watches the World Cup. And we cannot say that for, you know, the NFL, NHL, NBL, or NBA. You know, I thoroughly enjoyed myself this weekend and hope you did as well. All weekend we've been talking, however, about Chump the Brain Dead Comic Carnival Bark, a.k.a. Coolest Clown, meeting with Vladimir Putin. Yep, Vladimir Putin and him are going to have a private conversation, and I believe at the time of this airing, the conversation has already been over and done with. And I believe that as I came on the air, the only comment that Chump had was that it was a good first beginning. And, of course, no one knows what transpired in the one-on-one meeting, which is unprecedented. We never had a president, and not only meet with a foreign adversary, but meet in private with that foreign adversary, so there's no record of what was disclosed. And then the other part of it is that he didn't want his aides, who are very hawkish on Vladimir, to interrupt or insist that he not, you know, take a specific stance. You know, a cyber attack is an attack, period, and it's an act of war. So for the president to insist on the eve of this meeting, summit, whatever you want to call it, or character, however you wish to characterize it, to say that, you know, we would have better relationship with Russia, would benefit everyone insistently over his own intelligence agency's summary that Russia, or a conclusion that Russia was involved in hacking, you know, a number of sites, and that it's not his problem. Essentially, it's not his problem. It's not the Republican Party problem. It's the Democrats' party. And then went on to hypocritically and erroneously blame Obama for not doing anything, when Obama, it's well known that Mitch McConnell threatened to out any attempt to alert the public to the fact that Russia had hacked the DNC and the DCCC, as well as state election boards, as a partisan ploy, caused Obama to back down. Now, we have, you know, I like Obama as a man, and mostly as a president, but this is where I join in a lot of criticism that he was weak, and you know, he should have pushed back hard. He should have demanded that the Democrats support him, and they mainly didn't. They mostly didn't, because you know, let's be real, the Democratic Party is as racist as the Republican Party. It's a fact. You know, it's just that it's a bigger tent, you know, a lot more constituencies to appease. And so they aren't as rabid in their bigotry as the Republicans are. So back to Chump the Brain Dead Comic Carnival Barker. So here he is in Helsinki, Finland, capital of Finland, meeting behind closed doors. A guy who denounced the press, the Fourth Estate, before he left, denounced the investigation, saying that, you know, it's going to, quote-unquote, hamper, end-quote, our relationship, our ability to build the relationship with Russia, or the United Russian Federation, whatever Russia calls itself now. It's not the USSR any longer. And it's treasonous. I mean, there is no other way to characterize his obsession with not only meeting with Putin, but having a relationship with Putin. It's treasonous. There is literally no other way to characterize this obsession. And it's frightening because, you know, we have a lot more to lose. Just like the meeting with Kim Jong-un in Singapore a few weeks back. Trump got virtually nothing out of the deal. Absolutely nothing. He gave the North Koreans credibility and stature that they hitherto lacked. And also suspended the war games, that's what they call them, and that's what Trump called them also, which are the joint exercises between South Korea and U.S. military forces, enabling the South Koreans, the ROK Army, that's what we used to call it, Republic of Korea Army, to maintain their readiness. It's important, you know, in any endeavor. I don't care what it is that you train and you and practice. And you know, American generals have been fretting openly about how we're going to continue to maintain South Korean readiness in the wake of Trump's decision to suspend exercises with South Korea. And the same with NATO. He went over to England last week and embarrassed himself, embarrassed the United States of America. The only people that think that, you know, he came out of it looking good and smelling like roses are his delusional supporters. I mean, he went over and castigated Germany, said they were a tool of Russia. Yeah, he does a lot of projection. A lot of this is just flat-out projection. Then, you know, Merkel, you know, pushed back against that. Then he goes over and denounces the Prime Minister of Britain, you know, botching her exit from Brexit, or botching the exit from the European Union, which is called Brexit, let me put it that way. In a widely castigated interview that he gave with a local tabloid, then he denounces NATO, which Putin hates for obvious reasons, you know, because it was designed, it was created to push back against Russian hegemony. That's the whole point of NATO, North American, the North American treaty organization. Oh my God, do we not know what the acronym NATO stands for? North, I thought it was the North American or North something treaty organization. Anyway, we'll look it up. North Atlantic Treaty Organization, I'm sorry. And then this is all on the eve of this meeting that he held this morning with Putin. And you know, again, you know, we are left with his characterization of what transpired during this meeting. A notorious liar. The guy lies with every breath. And then you have these guys in the tea bar, the tea baggers in the Congress, Jim Jordan and Elmer Fudd from these other imbeciles. I mean, these guys are so racist, Steve King, that it's, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they had a hood and a robe under their desk in their office. I mean, they are rabidly racist. They, you know, guys like Fudd and Jordan, they don't even attempt to hide their bigotry. And you know, it's gotten badder. It's gotten worse. And this is the other thing I wanted to segue into is, you know, incidents, you know, we call them minor incidents, you know, we already know with the slave patrol, I mean, the police do to African Americans, but, yeah, he just shot another guy up in Chicago. Apparently he was reaching for, I don't know why he would have done it. I mean, it was like literally suicide by police. I mean, if you're armed, then you're illegally armed. Then the best thing to do would be to take it like a man. You got to take it like a man. You got to, whatever the sentence is. I know in New York State, I don't know if it's still that. It used to be a year mandatory if you got caught with an illegal firearm. In other words, the firearm wasn't registered or you were a convicted felon or something like that and were in possession of a firearm. So it was a mandatory minimum of 1 year. And I would assume that the penalties or the punishment increased, you know, if you had engaged in that sort of unlawful behavior repeatedly. So apparently this young man, black man in Chicago, got shot. But there was several incidents, you know, not with people or white people merely calling police on blacks, which is a microaggression, but where, you know, white males were confronting black males, you know, very aggressively and threatening to fight him. I mean, it's outrageous, man. I mean, it's really gotten out of hand because even though these incidents are like, how would you say, like embers. That's a good way to put it. They're like embers. So, you know, the latest one I was watching this morning in preparation for the show was a young black man that was on a train, a subway somewhere. It didn't look like New York, obviously. You know, we know what New York trains look like. They're old and beat to death. Even though they put new cars on there, thank God, air conditioning feel great. But at any rate, I confronted a brother on the train in front of all these people, man, and, you know, called them all kind of nigga this and nigga that, and the kid, you know, he's not a kid, you know, he's a grown man, you know, but I imagine he was, you know, fairly young guy, got off, and, you know, I'm a black man, and I know how I would feel, and, you know, I grew up in a rough town, and, you know, right outside the city, and spent a lot of time in the city, and eventually, when I gained my majority, moved into the city, and, you know, when I started college, until I decided that it would be best to go to a more remote location to try to focus and concentrate at any rate. And at that age, you know, we as, you know, black guys don't tolerate a lot. We really don't, because we know most of us are conscious, and we know the history of racism, and plus, you know, we're socialized to be aggressive, and it's unfortunate, but we are, many of us, not all of us, but many of us. It depends on your environment and your environmental conditioning. And this guy pushed this kid's button, you know, over and over and over again, and the kid finally got off the train. I swear to God, I kid you not, the white boy, who was a relatively large guy, he was large, well-muscled, got off the train and followed the kid, and the kid just waxed him. I mean, he waxed him. And fortunately, it was a sister there, conscious, you know, I don't know what her story was, but she kept, you know, she picked up the guy's phone, brother, after he waxed the guy, and told him to stop beating the guy up because, you know, they didn't want, or she didn't, and I'm sure, you know, many people shared her sentiment. I know I certainly didn't want to see this guy go to jail, this young brother go to jail for, you know, somebody provoking and pushing his button, because that's what would have happened. You know, the police wouldn't have had any sympathy for the fact that the guy had provoked him into this altercation. They would have simply took him to jail, and if he didn't have a record, you know, that would have been his first criminal justice contact. And we all know the story from there. Let's take a break and come back on the other side of the break. Finish talking about Chump the Brain Dead Comic Carnival Barker, and how he has become the human wrecking ball.
The Endangered Species Act of 1973 was signed into law by President Richard M. Nixon on December 28, 1973. It was designed to protect critically imperiled species from extinction as a consequence of economic growth and development untempered by adequate concern and conservation. The U.S. Supreme Court found that the plain intent of Congress in enacting the ESA was to halt, reverse the trend towards species extinction, whatever the cause. A species is considered to be endangered if it's in danger of extinction throughout its lifespan, or a significant portion of its habitat is threatened, destroyed, or invaded, or if it is likely to become an endangered species within the foreseeable future. Then why are black boys on this list? Black boys are an endangered species. Please go to GoFundMe and to our campaign at /PLZ2MO and contribute generously to help us build an alternative school for these boys that will become a national model for educational innovation. Again, go to GoFundMe and to our campaign at /PLZ2MO.
Dennis Shipman is 83 and sunny here in Brooklyn, New York. And we were talking on the other side of the break about Chump the Brain Dead Comic Carnival Barker and how he has become just literally a one-man wrecking ball. I mean, you couldn't, talk about Manchurian Candidate. I understand bigotry. I really do. I understand it eminently well. Trust me. I'm old enough. Let me just put it that way. I'm old enough to know how this goes. And, my fear is this, and I've said it on this radio show a number of times, not to incite violence or anything like that, but, you know, it's going to get much worse before it gets better. Trust me. I'm telling you, we are a powder keg in this country as a consequence of 45, a lot of our anger, my ire, and those that listen to the show routinely notice, is directed towards the Negro. I mean, have you no shame? Have you no dignity? I mean, who could possibly support this bigot? We knew him well in New York, so, you know, we weren't surprised, but there are a lot in other communities, you know, the diaspora. The African diaspora is quite large, and it encompasses a lot of communities throughout the world. You know, Brazil has perhaps the largest percentage of Africans, Afro-Brazilians, who are themselves the subject of racial bigotry and racism in Brazil. You know, they're not allowed to realize self-determination. But there are blacks throughout South America, and they suffer a lot too. Blacks in Mexico, you know, I'm talking about native-born, Central America. I mean, we could go through that. And I'm going to devote a whole entire show to this. I put on my social science hat, you know, my anthropology hat, and devote a whole show to this. So they come here with different colonial worldviews, colonial perspectives. So you have a lot of blacks in the Caribbean who, with colonial perspectives that don't have the same, because they've grown up with, you know, seeing blacks in authority, blacks in power, you know, so they don't have the same vestiges of that we do here in the African American community in the United States. So they're more tolerant of a person like Trump, who they just see as a strongman. They don't necessarily see him for what he actually is. So, you know, a lot, and I'm not saying it was all West Indian or African or African American, you know, but it was great. The percentage, you know, African American women, thank God, you know, tried to save us from ourselves, but it was a lot of black males. And I talk about this often. I will continue to talk about it because it strikes me as, there has to be an insult level. I mean, you know, seriously, I mean, there just has to be an insult level that you're not prepared. You know, Trump took out ads in every major, there are four major papers. I'm talking about broadsheets. I'm not talking about tabloids. There are four major broadsheets in New York City. And in May of 1987, Trump, the Brain Dead Comic Carnival Barker, took out full-page ads in all of those media outlets, print media outlets, to call for the death penalty for the Central Park five young men, black and Hispanic, who were alleged to have raped a young white stockbroker who was jogging through the park. And the full story has never been told, but I was there. And I can tell you the full story is that these kids were on the other side of the park robbing someone at the time, that she was being raped by a Puerto Rican assailant who subsequently went to jail for another crime. That's what happened. So fast forward, they were all juveniles at the time, they all wind up going to jail for long, lengthy sentences. Well, we can't finish the story because we really don't have a lot of time left, but we're going to talk a little about this here. The point is that Trump took out full-page ads calling for the death penalty for these kids. Now, there is no death penalty for rape, and certainly at the time, I believe the death penalty in New York State was deemed unconstitutional at any rate anyway, and there is no death penalty currently on the books in New York State. First degree murder, you get life without the possibility of parole in New York. We've known Trump for some time before that, his father and his mother, you know, getting arrested at a Ku Klux Klan rally in New York City and not renting the blacks. So his history of racism and bigotry are deeply rooted in the city. And so we weren't foolish enough, thank God, the majority of us, to vote for this clown. So we're going to talk more about this in the coming weeks, and we hope that you'll tune in. And tune in to our other co-hosts on Mark and Pulpit International. They bring you information that is enlightening and helping you to make informed decisions about, you know, not only your business. So we hope that you will tune in and keep it here. On another day, another way, and we will be back. Enjoy your week.
by chance.